What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you could find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at IssuesETC.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I have to admit, the first time I saw news of this in the social media, Pastor Joel Osteen of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, largest megachurch in the United States, well known from television and from best-selling books, meeting with Pope Francis. I thought it was something from The Onion or from Lark News or one of those satirical newspapers. I didn't think... It just seemed a strange juxtaposition, Joel Osteen and Pope Francis. At first glance, one would say, you could not think of two more different religious leaders, and why would they be meeting? What would they say to each other, and what would be going on there? That was my initial reaction. Skeptical as I was, looked into it. Yes, in fact, Joel Osteen, with the Mormon senator and other leaders, did meet with Pope Francis there in Rome about 10 days ago or so. What was this about, and is there as big a difference between these two leaders, Joel Osteen and Pope Francis, as at first appears? Joining us to talk about this meeting between Joel Osteen and Pope Francis, Pastor Chris Rosebro. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's host of a daily internet show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on, Todd.
Most people would say you can't think of two Christian leaders more different than Joel Osteen and Pope Francis. What's your reaction to that?
Well, actually, I would say that Joel Osteen and Pope Francis have a lot in common. You can talk about them both being megachurch pastors, in a sense, although I would say Joel Osteen is kind of the upstart in that department. In fact, Joel Osteen commented on the fact that he, as part of his meeting with Pope Francis, he was able on a Wednesday evening to participate with Pope Francis, at least observe Pope Francis celebrating the Mass with 100,000 people at St. Peter's. And so, I mean, they're both megachurch pastors in kind of an interesting way of putting it. But I would even say that our confessions point out the fact that the Pope or the papacy, the office of the Pope, is one that is steeped in enthusiasm, and that's that God within-ism. You know, many of the abuses that go along with the papal office have to do with this belief that God speaks directly through the Pope, who is the visible vicar of Christ on earth. And many of the, you know, the doctrines that have come to us that are very unique to Roman Catholicism come via enthusiastic means, you know, this God within-ism, or when the Pope speaks ex cathedra. And Joel Osteen also, as well, is an enthusiast. He's a charismatic, and he believes that God speaks directly to them, to him. So I would say Joel Osteen and Pope Francis, rather than two people who don't have a lot in common, I would say theologically, these are two birds of a feather.
This is a general observation, I think. Well, an oft-time guest here on Issues Etc., Dr. Larry Rast, who's president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, has observed that in a lot of ways, American evangelicals are theologically Roman Catholics without candles, vestments, and a pope. Is that the direction you're going here?
Well, I think you can make a case, a very similar case. In fact, you could even come down to Joel Osteen's theology, although there's a difference in the details. The basic premise is still the same, that if you do particular things correctly, you earn from God favor and blessing and things of that nature, which is, you know, Roman Catholicism ultimately is one of the most elaborate works-based theological systems on the planet. Joel Osteen's is also a works-based system, but it doesn't have the trappings of the Roman Catholic Church. But at its core, it still believes in this kind of cosmic quid pro quo. You do the right things and you earn certain things by doing those right things. And in Joel Osteen's case, if you believe if you say positive things about yourself or believe positively for the best and stuff like that, that saying those words of faith and those affirmations show God that you're serious, and then God blesses you with health and wealth and blessings and things like that. And Roman Catholicism, similarly, you know, your blessings are contingent upon the things that you do. So yeah, they're both functionally works-based systems with enthusiasm running at its core. So I think there's a lot of similarities, but theologically, there's also a lot of differences in the details, but the fundamental premise is still the same.
Okay, let's talk in more detail about the term that you've used here, and you explained briefly a few minutes ago, enthusiasm, that God within-ism. Explain what it is, this, in whatever form it's found, be it in, and I think you're quite right, be it in classical kind of Tridentine Roman Catholicism represented by the office of the papacy, or be it in Joel Osteen, a more popular form of the thing. What is this enthusiasm? What does it say about the Word of God, about the, how God deals with us? And what is the big danger of being a so-called enthusiast in that sense?
Well, enthusiasm is God within-ism, or some people have described it as kind of like God speaks to you through your feelings. I think a good way to maybe liken it to is that maybe, you know, God within-ism is like being a Jedi in the Star Wars movies, where you feel the Force flowing within you, and the Force is trying to communicate things to you through your feelings. That's similarly the idea. And fundamentally, the person who is an enthusiast, tacitly or explicitly, in the case of Roman Catholicism, they explicitly deny the sufficiency of the written Word of God. It is insufficient. Somebody like Joel Osteen wouldn't say that out loud, that he believes that the Word of God is insufficient, but he acts and functions as if it's insufficient, because what's also needed is direct revelation from God. In the Roman system, the direct revelation is given to the visible vicar of Christ on earth, whereas in Joel Osteen's case, he's the visionary pastor of Lakewood, and God speaks directly to him. And fundamentally, what this does is it denies the sufficiency of Scripture, that Scripture is enough to equip and sustain God's people, and instead it sets up a secondary authority, and that's direct revelation. And you can start to talk in terms of that direct revelation, that God within-ism, or God speaking through your emotions or dreams or visions, as is kind of like a prophetic stream of sorts, if you would, where you're getting information that you can't find in the Bible itself.
So would it be safe to say that in the classic Roman Catholic theology represented by Pope Francis, the Pope, more or less, the Pope alone has this pipeline to direct revelation, but it would seem that in Joel Osteen's theology, at least potentially, he would say every believer can be his own pope, can hear directly from God.
Yeah, it's funny that you would put it that everybody can be their own pope. I don't think Joel would put it that way, but Joel Osteen has made it very clear that he believes it's normative for Christians to be hearing the direct revelation and the voice of God and prompting them in their life and giving them a purpose to change the world and stuff like that. He believes that this is normative for all Christians. And so, in a sense, you can say that Joel Osteen's enthusiasm makes little popes of every Christian, whereas in Roman Catholicism, that type of revelation is reserved primarily for the office of the papacy. But what I think is interesting is that Pope Francis, he's kind of a different type of pope in the sense that he has, in the past, made it clear that he considers himself to be a charismatic, and has charismatic leanings, and so he really believes the charismatic movement is kind of like the future of the Roman Catholic Church, and so he's moving Roman Catholicism in a way more towards kind of American Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement, and so it's not necessarily reserved for the Pope, and at least the way Francis operates and believes.
I wonder about one of the biggest differences that some might note between, or at least apparent difference between, the two men, Joel Osteen and Pope Francis, who met recently in Rome, being the sacraments. Someone would say, well, Joel doesn't believe in sacraments. Is that necessarily true? Does Joel Osteen's theology have sacraments, but just not by that name?
Well, here's the funny thing is, Joel Osteen, his theology definitely has, you could say, means of grace. But what he believes are means of grace is different than traditional sacramental theology. Sacrament basically is a word that means mystery. And if you think of, like, you know, a right understanding of the sacrament, it's the word of God attached to earthly things. God's word with water, God's word and bread and wine, you know, and God's preached word. Whereas Joel Osteen, he has a sacramental-ish theology, but what he believes is a means of grace in his theology is not baptism or the Lord's Supper. Instead, he believes that saying positive things about yourself and affirming yourself in front of a mirror and saying things like, I'm the head and not the tail, I am blessed, I am healthy, I am wise, saying those things, that is a means of grace, if you would, for attaining and receiving blessing from God. So he does have a sacramental theology. It's just that the sacraments are different than what would normally be considered to be sacraments.
So, again, it comes back to that works-based theology that the two have in common. If one scratches the surface of the Roman system of sacraments, you find that it is also, again, sadly, has been perverted. While they have much correct in their teaching of the sacraments, it's been perverted and misused toward the ends of their works-based salvation, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. In the Roman system, the sacraments work kind of in and of themselves. I think the Latin term is ex opere operato, by the working of the work, whereas the Lutherans rightly understand that the efficacy of the sacraments, yes, they are efficacious, but it's faith that clings to the promises attached to those efficacious sacraments that really is the thing that matters, whereas in the Roman system, faith isn't necessary. The sacraments work in and of themselves. So, but that's probably best unpacked in an entire episode of Issues, etc.
Let's talk a little bit about the kind of... I've often thought, in listening to Joel Osteen, we've reviewed all of his books at length. I've had to read them. It is rather tedious. It is a constant drumbeat, Chris, where the onus is being repeatedly put back on you. He says it in very kind ways and very, at first it appears to be encouraging ways, but his message is essentially the reason your life is messed up is because of you, and if it's going to get fixed, it's going to be something you do to change it. And it seems to me that that is the real tyranny of both of these theological systems, as different as they may appear.
Yeah, right. And in fact, I've referred to Joel Osteen's theology of the tyranny of positive thinking. And you know, we've all seen in our lifetimes stories, you know, kind of like Twilight Zone episodes or scary movies where somebody shows up in kind of a unknown small town. And the weird thing about that small town is that everybody is so positive. There's no problems here. And everybody is, you know, saying positive things, and it's just this wonderful Mayberry kind of place. But then they scratch the surface, and you realize that behind the facade of happiness, that there's some really dark things going on there. Joel Osteen's theology is like that. It creates a Stepford environment, you know, a false Mayberry, where everybody must say positive things and think positive thoughts in order to be blessed by God. And if you step out of line and say something negative, lest you say something like, oh, I'm not feeling well, I must be coming down with a cold, so, you know, somebody who buys into that theology would come down on you like a bag of potatoes and say, oh, you're saying negative words, you're creating a negative future for yourself, knock that off and start saying positive things. Well, that is a kind of a weird, sick, sappy tyranny that basically makes it impossible for you to experience or emote the full range of human emotions with a really weird kind of like superstition attached to it, because this isn't what the Bible teaches at all, that if you say negative things or negatively confess, that you're going to literally call forth negative curses and terrible circumstances on your life by because your words have the power to create the future, either positive or negative. It really creates this terrible tyranny where you're literally stuck in a prison with a big smiley face on it.
So that's enthusiasm on steroids. That is, not only am I the recipient of private revelations that I'm hearing from God from my circumstances in life or from my feelings or from what I think He's saying to me. I'm actually speaking for God in a sense, either advertently or inadvertently, shaping my reality with these kinds of words.
Right, and what's fascinating is if you really kind of think through the theology and the implications of Joel Osteen's theology, this enthusiasm that he teaches, what it's literally teaching is that God really isn't the one who's God. You are. God is there to kind of help you. God is going to make things happen for you, but He's basically sitting on the sidelines waiting for you to say the right amount of positive things or do the right amount of positive stuff and thinking before He can step in and help you. But He really takes a complementary helping role in your spirituality. And you are really in the divine seat where you're the one making the decisions, and you're functionally your own deity in that system.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. We're talking with him on this Thursday afternoon, June the 19th, about Joel Osteen's recent meeting with Pope Francis. He hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will present the inaugural Village Lutheran Lecture on Christianity and Culture July 19th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Village Lutheran Church, Ladue, Missouri. Her topic will be Tales from the Front, Religious Liberty and the Media, July 19th, 9 to 11 a.m. at Village Lutheran Church, 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue, Missouri. We invite you to join us for this free and highly beneficial opportunity.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Thursday afternoon. Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. We're talking about Joel Osteen's recent meeting with Pope Francis. Now, this group, this delegation, I assume a delegation from kind of North American Protestant leaders, that's the way it was described, including Joel Osteen, was invited by Francis to the Vatican in order to discuss this question. I want your thoughts on this. The Pope is asking the question of this delegation, including Joel Osteen, can we find common ground in order to advance the life and ministry of Jesus so more people can experience the joy of the Christian faith? A call for unity. What do you make of that in this meeting between Pope Francis and evangelical leaders, including Joel Osteen?
Well, I think a little bit of history is needed here. This is not something exactly brand new, but it's a recently new development. At the beginning of this year, Kenneth Copeland held a leadership conference in the month of January, and a gentleman who was a personal friend of Pope Francis by the name of Tony Palmer attended the conference and was allowed to speak at Kenneth Copeland's conference, and he carried with him a 9-minute-long video in which the Pope literally addressed the people at Kenneth Copeland's leadership conference calling for unity. And it was, well, it was a little bit shocking and disconcerting, but it was a fascinating development. And it turns out that Tony Palmer has also visited, James Robison's Life Today program and has been making the rounds. And now the Pope is inviting major Protestant leaders in continuing to basically lay foundation for this idea that all of visible Christianity, the Pope is trying to get us all to see each other as Christians and to unite. And Tony Palmer, who is a personal friend of the Pope's, is actually saying that that division within the body of Christ is diabolical, and so there's this open call for unity, at the same time claims that divisiveness, even doctrinal divisiveness, is somehow has as its core the devil. But I would point out that some division is absolutely necessary according to Scripture, and just making a carte blanche statement that all divisions are demonic is in itself a demonic and deceptive statement.
Now, that's just an odd place to begin. Kenneth Copeland is, I think most people would probably regard him, and I think history will regard him, as somewhere very near, he set up his camp somewhere very near the lunatic fringe of visible Christianity. Why begin in a place like that? Why reach out to not just a charismatic, he could go to Assemblies of God or Pentecostal churches, but why to the I guess you could call him, the second generation of Word Faith teachers?
I think the link there, again, is going to be Bishop Tony Palmer, who is some kind of a charismatic Anglican with some communion in Great Britain. Again, Tony Palmer is going to be your link point, and Tony Palmer used to work for Kenneth Copeland and then was sent out kind of into the charismatic mission field in a heavily Roman Catholic area and kind of took on a lot of Roman Catholic, you know, trappings, if you would, in his own theology, and eventually became a personal friend of the Pope. So Tony Palmer is the link between Kenneth Copeland and Pope Francis. That's kind of, I would say, that's probably the extent as to why, starting with Kenneth Copeland, and because Tony Palmer is personal friends with both, that's probably how that worked out. And plus, Tony Palmer explained that Kenneth Copeland's ministry in this leadership conference was very well attended by a bunch of other leaders within the charismatic movement in the United States. And so I think the friendship with Tony Palmer and the fact that it was a very well-attended conference, and Kenneth Copeland is a major leader within kind of the charismatic Word of Faith movement, but that's why it started there.
What kind of, in your thinking, Chris, what kind of unity could possibly result? Unity with scare quotes around it. What kind of unity could possibly be forged between Pope Francis and the likes of Kenneth Copeland or Joel Osteen or any of the other Word Faith leaders? What would that look like?
I don't know ultimately the form that it will take, but I can say that it's kind of an anti-doctrinal, almost postmodern type of unity that's being called for here, where you have to kind of think of it irrationally, where if you think of things logically, you know, the law of non-contradiction comes into play. You sit there and say, how can God be, you know, be equally speaking you know, and, you know, consider these things valid when on such things as the gospel itself. Rome has anathematized it at the Council of Trent, whereas Lutherans, you know, say that we're saved by grace through faith alone, by what Christ has done alone, you know, right? What kind of unity can there be? Well, it can't be doctrinal unity. It has to be some kind of irrational unity based upon a weird view of the Spirit. Well, if the Spirit's working there, and the Spirit's working here, and the Spirit's working here, doctrine doesn't matter. What matters is the Spirit. That's the kind of unity that we're talking about here, and it's basically an irrational postmodern unity that basically has a very eclectic view of the Holy Spirit and a completely non-truthful view of what truth is.
So the Holy, it would be a kind of unity that would be forced to say, well, the Spirit's doing one thing over here and a completely different thing over there, and don't try and reconcile the two. The Spirit's just going to do what the Spirit's going to do.
Yep, that's correct. That's the kind of unity we're talking about. And that ain't unity. And of course, then that would basically make the God the Holy Spirit the author of confusion. You know. I forget the old John Montgomery quote. But, you know, the idea is in a world where Christian Science and Mormonism are both true, that would be a crazy world to live in. I mean, you know, just that doesn't make any sense. You know, but that's the kind of unity that they're literally calling for. And anybody who is sticking to their biblical and doctrinal scruples and saying, there's a such thing as doctrines that are anathema, well, that person is being anathematized and also being called demonic for getting in the way of this new move of the Spirit, because now the Spirit is calling for unity among all of these theologically disparate and functionally different groups.
I mean, one of the things that at least Rome has had in its favor, at least a claim in its favor, is that of more or less doctrinal continuity. Of course, they do have ongoing revelation, but they at least claim doctrinal continuity, and they do claim the word Catholic in a serious way, saying, look, we have the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and it is to be believed by every Christian everywhere at all times. The charismatic view is that, well, these people over here believe this and these people over there, and everybody's under the sway of the Spirit. We don't know what the Spirit's doing, but it'll all get sorted out in the end. I cannot imagine, Chris, what a Roman Catholic Church would look like if they gave up the notion of Catholicity. But that sounds
they're redefining it, though. This is a Catholicity with a kind of a least common denominator. And the least common denominator is this. Oh, you say you love Jesus. We say we love Jesus. We all love Jesus. We want people to experience Jesus. So it's kind of a least common denominator Catholicity. Catholicity no longer means the Catholic faith, the universal faith as defined by, like, say, the Athanasian Creed or the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Now the Catholic faith has been down to one statement. You believe in Jesus? Well, then you're Catholic. That's really what's being said here.
So that explains why Joel Osteen might be perfectly willing to jump on that kind of unity bandwagon, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. If you remember a few years ago, even Joel Osteen publicly stated that, you know, Mormons, they believe in Jesus and they love Jesus. See, he long before the Pope invited him to the Vatican, already subscribe to kind of this postmodern, least common denominator Catholicity that basically says, if you love Jesus, that's all that matters to me. I think you love Jesus. Mormons love Jesus. Catholics love Jesus. Even Lutherans love Jesus as cantankerous as they are. So we're all Catholics now and under that least common denominator Catholicity.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Paul Marshall of the Hudson Institute about the persecution of Christians. We'll continue our Christ in the Old Testament series, talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about Jeremiah's persecution in Jeremiah chapter 20. And since tomorrow's Friday, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. The kind of unity that both Pope Francis and Joel Osteen could both sign on to with a straight face concerns me. Of course, this is not something that's found outside even our own circles. People who say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's kind of fickle. He does one thing here and another thing there. And don't question what anyone else may be teaching, practicing, saying, because the Holy Spirit's guiding all of it. Chris is right. It really makes the Holy Spirit the author of confusion, not of unity, but really of division. When you can come up with a definition of unity that actually means division, difference and contradiction, something is seriously wrong. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at BLC.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.